On this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, I sit down with Jeff Greenberg to uncover going from passive investing to becoming a fund sponsor.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, where we provide you actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. Today, you're going to get to discover going from limited passive investor to becoming a fund sponsor. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Neil Timmons. I love passive income from real estate. Now, before I introduce you to today's Maverick, I want to make a request that at any point you like what you hear, well, give us a thumbs up. Be certain to subscribe to the show. Never miss a valuable episode. If you love what you hear, well, give us a written review. Plus, be sure to look at the description of this episode. We packed it with thousands of dollars in free resources. Now, today, we've got the privilege to learn from a person with over a decade's experience in multifamily real estate, along with multiple asset classes. I would describe today's Maverick as someone who's passionate about dotting the I's and crossing the T's, all the details of a deal. Today's Maverick, Jeff Greenberg, here with me. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic today.
I'm glad you're here. Hey, see, for the audience's sake, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Well, I'm Jeff Greenberg out of Southern California. I call myself a recovering syndicator because I've been syndicating multifamily and student housing for the past 12, 13 years and currently moving into private equity funds, but been doing this for quite some time now.
Tell me this. Take me back to the very first commercial property you were involved with. What was that?
That was five fourplexes. We called it a 20-unit apartment, and they were all located in the same cul-de-sac, and that was in Texas, but it was 20-unit property.
What year was that?
That was in 2010.
2010. All right. Now tell me about the most recent deal you were involved in.
Well, the last deal that we just sold off, that was the most recent, was a 225-unit in Amarillo, Texas. We sold that one. It's probably going on 2 years now that we sold that off. We had it for about 2.5 years on that one.
Got it. So from a 20 unit to a 200 plus unit in a span of, let's call it 13 years. I know there's a big gap, a lot of lessons through those years. If you had to think of the top two, maybe the top three lessons that you've learned over the course of that time period, 13 years, what are they?
The importance of asset management, the importance of the operator. Who's the operator on the opportunity? Operations is key, especially nowadays. Due diligence, those are a couple of big things, is knowing who's operating, who's actually working with the management, and getting proper due diligence. Those are a couple things that come to mind.
So an operator says, hey, we buy the property, we put property management in place. That's like asset management, and it really isn't. So maybe expand upon, when you say asset management, what does that mean to you?
Someone that's keeping the property management on track to making sure that there's a clear understanding of the business plan and getting that business plan done. So an asset management is essentially representing the ownership and making sure that the property managers are doing what was agreed upon.
Is it fair to say that an asset manager and a property manager at times can have a combative relationship due to the fact that they have different motivating factors?
Absolutely.
And maybe let's expand upon that. Maybe the property manager being they want it done the easiest and the fastest, but not necessarily the cheapest, if you will. The asset manager is concerned about the bottom line and balancing things as they go.
Absolutely. They're more concerned about that, where depending on the property manager, how much energy they want to put into something, there may be disagreements on the quality of workmanship that's acceptable in that type of asset class. They may want to bring it up to a higher standard than the asset manager, but the asset manager doesn't want to spend that kind of money for it. Or it could be the opposite, that the property management feels that they could have a much lesser quality, where the ownership and the asset manager want a higher quality. They may need more incentives as far as when they're hiring vendors. Maybe a certain contractor gives them a kickback. And so they're going to go with that vendor, even though they may not be the best quality, the best price, or whatever. So there are a lot of different incentives that property management may have and not being the same as the asset manager.
Yeah, and that kickback is oftentimes legal and not required to be disclosed unless the asset manager asks certain questions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the legality of it. It's certainly not ethical.
Agree with that.
And property management is not a high income business. So somebody running a property management company may not be very highly paid. They may not be making a lot of money. And so they may need to throw in different things where they can squeeze out more money for themselves. And so that may be their motivation. But obviously, it's not the same as the asset manager who is looking out for the investors.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been involved over the course of a decade plus in multiple asset classes, past multifamily, and then you're in student housing, but it sounds like you've touched in multiple asset classes past that.
Mainly in my funds I have, but not in operations. The operations have always been either multifamily or the subset of student housing, and we have dabbled a little bit in short-term rentals, not by choice.
Not by choice. So draw a line for me, operations and then the fund. So let's talk about operations first. When you say that, what does that mean? And then I want to pivot to the fund and what that looks like.
Yeah, the operations essentially is we're acquiring properties, and a lot of people think, okay, you acquire a property and now you've made it to the finish line. Well, in reality, you've made it to the starting line.
Right.
You're a marathoner, you've got your conditioning, now you're ready to get out the gate. Operations is what you're doing next. It's doing the business plan. It's whatever the plan is for that property. And there are many hats that need to be worn in that operations. We've talked about the one, which is the asset management, but it's also working with investors, again, working with contractors, working with all different aspects of running a property. So that's one aspect of the business. Prior to getting the property, one aspect is raising equity, because the lender, the debt, is not going to give you 100%. So they may take a majority of the purchase price and rehab costs, but the rest is going to come in as equity. So knowing how to raise equity is an extremely important part of the puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, let's talk about the fund. Tell me about
that. Okay. So, well, first, on all of the deals that I have done over the years, I not only was the main operator, the main GP, but I was also the main equity raiser. And over the years, realized that I enjoyed doing that piece more than I enjoyed doing the other pieces.
Sure.
And I had other people on my team that started doing more of those other pieces. And I decided that all I really would want to do is the equity side of it. And so I've been pulling myself back as we've been selling property. So as we've sold properties off, now I need to reinvest that money. And I invested alongside of my investors in my equity funds, which I have.
And it sounds to me like you invest that with and through other operators. You vet out operators and look for opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing right now, is looking for good quality operators that I will entrust my money and my investors' money with, and then we invest with them. And it also gives me the opportunity to look at all different asset types, because I don't have to be an expert in every asset type. I seek out experts in those different assets.
Your favorite two asset classes right now in today's market?
Well, I mean, I still like multifamily, but I'm not investing a lot in multifamily. I'm looking right now at some assisted living. I mean, I think self-storage is a great way to go as well. So I don't know if I have two. There's a lot of them out there that I do like.
Let's talk about when you're going through and you have to vet an operator. So maybe first, like, how does one in your position, and this question is posed for the listeners who are passive investors, how do you find operators? And then the follow-up is, how do you vet them? What are you looking for?
Yeah, most of the operators that I've met has been through different masterminds that I'm in, because in masterminds, you get to know people pretty well. Yeah. And it's not where I just met somebody and all of a sudden I'm going to go and bring money in and invest in their deals. I need to get to know people. So it's on a personal level first. And I've got to understand their operations, understand their ethics, their motivation. And so I like to dig into that. I like to dig into who are the ones doing the asset management and who is running the business. So those are important things. Track record is important, but if they've been operating over the last 10 years, they probably had some phenomenal deals. The last few years, they could have had some duress because of what's been going on in the debt market. But I want to see what they did as far as performance in the past. And it can't be just due to the market being phenomenal as it was. A lot of people have done fantastic numbers, but had little to do with their performance.
Yeah, all ships rise when the tide rises.
Yeah, and I want to know about their team. I want to know, typically I'll go visit their office, go see who's working there, what kind of atmosphere there is. I go to some of their properties that they're operating so I can kind of get to know how they are as operators.
Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com. Yep. Tell me, debt has become significantly unique as a result of the rates rising so hard, so fast. When you're evaluating, say you've got an operator you like and trust, great, you're in on the operator. Now it's deal evaluation time. You've got something presented to you. How much time are you spending evaluating the debt that they're putting on a deal?
Debt's very important right now. I'm not getting any variable debts, any bridge loans. I don't know if people are getting much of those right now. I like the fixed right now. I've involved in a couple deals that were assumptions that were very low rate. We're doing right now is like a 3.8% interest only for the next 7 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but the big question that I ask besides the debt is, what are you doing to protect the investment? What is being done? And one of the things is the debt. Other thing is reserves. The other thing we're looking at is assumptions. How conservative are their assumptions? How aggressive are they? Different things like that. So I know how we're being protected. And after that, then we could talk about what your projections are as far as the returns. But before we get to worrying about the projections, I want to know what you're doing to protect the investment first. And I do believe that's something that a lot of new investors fall into. Oh, well, look at these great numbers. Wow, this one's going to give me a higher return than this other one. Well, that's all pro forma. That may or may not happen.
Fancy word for made up, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Tell me, when you're evaluating a deal, give me two red flags. If there's a deal, you're looking through it and you're going, giant red flag, either follow-up question or hard pass on this deal, just definitely not for me.
Well, typically it's a lot of their assumptions in their underwriting. I've seen many times they're assuming they're going to raise rents to this amount. It's going to happen within the first year. They just overproject And I look at it and I said, how are you going to renovate 50% of the units and your occupancy isn't going down? You've got to wait for the leases to expire. A lot of times, what are those assumptions that get you that lovely number in the first cell, which is your gross revenue year one?
Right.
What's getting you there? So, I mean, I've had that as a deal breaker in 5 minutes when I've seen they had an increase of like $600,000 from the T12 in year one. And is there, how are you getting there?
You can't renovate a unit and have a full year of rental rate.
Exactly. Exactly. And have 100% occupancy or something.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
What are you most excited about this year?
Well, one, I'm excited that there is going to be a lot of stress coming up. I feel bad for those people that are in the situation.
Yep.
I do feel there's going to be a lot of opportunity coming up in the multifamily area. But I'm very excited about some of the deal sponsors that I've been communicating with, because there's a lot of alternative investments that I want to get in with. And with my fund, my investors can diversify themselves in different asset types. And so I'm real excited about that. The other thing is I do have a 506B fund. One of my funds is 506B, and we're working to get the assets under management over 5 million. And when we do that, the fund becomes an accredited investor and can actually invest in 506C deals that only allow accredited investors.
Yep.
So that, I'm sure I'll have plenty of non-accredited investors that will be very excited about being able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me, I know I have my perspective, but I want to hear it from you. You see, one of the things you're most excited about is the opportunity that's forthcoming. What makes you believe that the opportunity is forthcoming?
As far as the duress in the market?
Yes.
I know a lot of people that either didn't get rate caps or that the cost of renewing their rate cap is killing them. I know a lot of people that are stopped distributions, others that have had capital calls. And I'm seeing it right now. The one deal that we're raising for right now reduced its purchase price by $25 million from the original price they were trying to get.
Yep.
So there's operators that are in stress out there.
I'm going to say what you said just a little differently, and I'll boil it down for the audience's sake, because I've been harping on the exact same thing. And what you're saying is that the interest rate is playing a significant factor in the duress of operators, the fact that they have interest rates that are coming due, their inability to reset that at anywhere near where they were, and the cash flow isn't going to line up. That they didn't properly reserve interest rate caps. They didn't reserve budget in such a way to forecast for the day which interest rates were going up would be at the level we're at as soon as we got here.
Yeah. And there's good operators that didn't expect interest rates to go up as fast as they did.
Correct.
There's others that didn't maintain enough reserves and they've gotten cut short.
Yep. Absolutely. What's this? I want to move on to the final segment, what I call the final four. What do you think holds most in passive investors back from hitting their next level, whatever that next level happens to be?
As far as their next level, I'm not clear on that question.
Yeah. So when you talk to passive investors and you're raising for, say, one of your funds, for them to accomplish the goals that they're after, they're here, they want to get to there. What holds them back? What's that delta between the action that they have to take and actually achieving that versus them already being there, for example?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is the unknown. And I think that's resolved with a lot of education. I mean, a lot of people come in and they're not educated into the business. And I think by becoming educated, you become a better passive investor. You become a better active investor. There's a great book by Brian Burke, The Hands-Off Investor, which is a great book for passive investors to kind of understand the inner workings of a commercial real estate deal and realize that they don't have to do all that. They need to find somebody they can trust that's doing that and that they could work with. But I think that might be a big holdback, is there's always a fear. You always have a fear of losing money. And our biggest goal is to never lose money. Yeah. So I would say that would be it.
Warren Buffett's rule number one, right?
Yeah. Except his rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Right. But once I've protected investors' money, then let's make some money. How much money can we make? Or how are you going to make money? But first, let's protect.
What are you passionate about outside of real estate?
Outside of real estate, I cycle. I try to stay in good shape. I put on about probably 100 miles a week on my road bike.
Wow.
My grandkids, my dogs.
Your favorite book?
Favorite book? Business or?
Yeah, Dealer's Choice.
Dealer's Choice. Well, I mean, I do like that book that I mentioned as far as an educational book, but The E-Myth was always an important book for me, learning to systematize things. And I've always hated to have to repeat monotonous things over and over and over again. So I used to spend a lot of time on spreadsheets because I was able to create formulas and macros and things to not have to repeat things.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in your community?
I try to make people's lives better by improving any properties that we own. This student housing property that I still own, we made a huge impact in by fixing it up and gave people a quality place to live. It was a mess when we got it a few years back. So it's extremely rewarding to be able to give somebody a good, safe place to live.
Jeff, this has been a great conversation. You've got tons of experience in your ability to go through and identify, and you've learned over the years all the things that can move the needle. And you practice that from an operator standpoint. Now you put it into place from a capital raiser standpoint by creating a fund so you can go identify those things inside of operators. It's been a great conversation, and you touched on a lot of things on the asset management side, which I think oftentimes just is under-discussed inside of our industry. For people who want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you, where can they go? What should they do?
Well, they could get a hold of me at jeff@synergeticig.com. And Synergetic is SynergeticIG.com. They could also go to my website, which is synergeticig.com. And I have a free book for your investors that have questions to ask a sponsor before you invest with them. And they could get that at sigcre.com/sponsor. And it will help them evaluate deals before they invest.
Wonderful. Jeff, every link you just mentioned is going to be below in the show notes for everybody here. Jeff, I appreciate you, your time today. It's been a great conversation. Thank you.
And thank you.
You bet. To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.